Hello, everybody. Welcome to Happy Thursday, last day of Hanukkah. I did want to start with a very important lesson that I watched yesterday, something that I thought was very interesting. And I'm going to share my screen first. I just want to start with this, and then we'll go into questions if anybody has anything. Okay? Here we go. So what this guy is, if you can see this here, he is going to be demonstrating two balls going down. One of them is going down a straight line to the bottom, and the other one's going over all these bumps, which you would think would slow it down, right? So I want you to think which ball is going to go faster, the one going straight down, or the one with all these bumps in the road? And how much slower, if it would be going slower, how much slower would it be going? Okay, I want you to write your answer down. Okay, here we go. We're gonna show the demonstration. One second here.
Parts of this simple experiment may surprise you. We have here two different ramps that the metal ball can roll down. The one on the right is smooth and uniform, while the one on the left is bumpy, with dips and rises. In a moment, Professor Kelly will roll two balls down each ramp at the same time. What do you think will happen? Both balls are the same weight, and there are no tricks involved, such as magnets. This is pure physics in action. If you're like me, you might expect both balls to reach the bottom at the same time, but this doesn't occur. The professor uses a pencil to drop both balls at once. And there you have it. Although both balls went the same distance down, the dips provided the left ball with a greater chance to accelerate without friction putting the brakes on.
Okay, I hope you got the point. Okay, for me, I found it was very fascinating. I for sure thought that the ball going straight down would go faster. But in reality, the ball that had the dips and the ups and the downs went faster because it picked up more speed as it was going up and down. I would say it probably went about 30% faster. And there was a big message that I want to bring up, which is so important that you have to understand, especially when you do this course, is you're going to have these moments where you're going down and you feel like, oh my gosh, like this, I'm going backwards, but you're actually not. You're just picking up speed when you start going over the next hump, and you will get to the finish line faster. Sometimes that just people that zip through the course actually, believe it or not, don't actually get through the course any faster. It just may seem like it sometimes. You know, people get to the finish line faster. Some people do go a little bit slower. Some people just go a nice, consistent path, and they do get to the finish line. But my point isn't whether you get, how quickly you get to the finish line. Is the point is that you will get to the finish line, and just keep that in mind, okay? Okay, any comments about what I said, first of all? You all like that concept?
Yeah, pretty cool. Thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going to, go ahead. Shauna, starting with Shauna.
Great. Oleg, I have a question about triggers.
Okay.
I have a very upsetting situation that happened with a family member. Mm-hmm. And it created a lot of anxiety and fear whenever I see this family member again.
Right.
And I'm wondering, so I could probably name about four emotions that came out of that situation. Do I have to go through each one as a trigger?
Okay, perfect. So what I would do is I would just walk through what happened with yourself, okay? And I would say, you know, just do start with generally. Do I have a general trigger? Clear the general trigger, okay, by age. And then do I have a trigger with this person? That happened, maybe as multiple people, clear them by age. Then after that, the emotions that it invoked, okay, and clear that. Could be there's some fear that came up, could be whatever, and everything that came up. Clear all that out. Some of it you clear like this, just like shame might have been, or humiliated, or whatever came up for you, and the trigger you clear by age. I would do that, and then think of that person or that event again and see what comes up for you. You should feel like calmer. You should feel happier, not necessarily happy, but just not triggered by that thought of the person. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I got that I've got triggers and stressors.
Okay. So do this, it's triggers and stressors. They're the same. You just have to identify them differently by age. You clear them the same way.
Okay. And then also, when we were talking about situations and scenarios.
Yeah.
In phrasing the question, all situations, I'm trying to remember how you phrased the question when we were clearing triggers with my daughter.
Uh-huh. So basically, are there any scenarios that would trigger her? Any scenarios, you know, various scenarios that play out? You would know what they are, okay, because they, you know, consistently, like, as an example. Okay, so the mother walks into the kitchen and her little five-year-old daughter opens the fridge and out comes all the eggs onto the floor. Okay, and the mother literally flips out. And the poor little kid's like looking at her like, it was an accident, I'm sorry. And the mother's sitting there berating the little child because, you're so careless. Why are you opening the fridge? Why are you doing this? And I know, because I used to be one of those moms. Okay, thank God I don't do that anymore, because I wasn't aware of like how reactive I was to situations. But that was totally a trigger response. So what you would want to do in that situation is you'd want to think about, when you calm down, was I triggered? For sure you were triggered. Why were you triggered? Like, I was triggered because now I have to clean up this mess. Now I just lost $5 worth of organic eggs, you know? And I needed them for dinner tonight. And that could play out in 5 different ways. So you just want to go through all the scenarios, all the emotions, all the feelings, all the things, and just clear them, either by triggers or whatever's coming up for you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
And the scenario is now I have to go back to the store and buy more eggs to make my brownies or cake or whatever for Shabbos or challah. Okay, so what? I don't have more time. I'm limited with my time. So all those things that go playing in your brain, they could either be clear, just clear them, or triggers. Okay? Shani, go ahead. Hi.
Good morning. Hi. Okay, I did a trigger with my daughter, between myself and my daughter. So I did a general trigger. And anytime you do, so my first question is, anytime you do a general trigger, then you need to go back and see if there are specific triggers, or do you only need to test the specific if you didn't clear generally? Do you need to do both either?
Yes, I would generally, I mean, if you're going to do specific, you don't have to do general. The only advantage of doing general is that you cover a lot more territory than if you do specific. But you could definitely do specific, right. But then you might find that you have, say you have 1,000 triggers with this child. And if you do general, you might knock out 500 and then you only have 500 left. As if you do specific, it would take you forever on things that'll clear general.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, when I did the general trigger, it went back, it was preconception. It went back like 6 generations to my great-grandmother's great-grandmother.
Oh, my gosh.
So just in terms of understanding this, that means that to that great-great-great-grandmother, there was some sort of like trauma or something that happened, and it has stayed in the family chain all the way to now, and now as a result of my doing it, this that particular energy will just like no longer be there.
Correct. If you did it correctly, and also I would clear it in your children too. While you're swiping, I mean, we really cover this in level 3, but it's really how to clear a family tree. So if you're starting with your great 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 grandmother, I basically write it down on a piece of paper.
Great. I did that. I kept writing down.
Okay. So you just keep going, because you will get lost when you're trying to clear it. And I literally just swipe the grandmother, the great great grandmother, the grandmother, my mother, me, and my children. Like, you just get all that energy off of the whole family tree.
Oh, because in other words, I shouldn't assume that I was doing it, let's say with a daughter, but I should maybe assume that it may have been come on to my other children as well. So I should.
Correct.
Maybe clear them. It's possible.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. So if it's coming in that way, I would just clear, you know, say it's great great grandmother, great grandmother, mother, you know, and then me, which I inherited. If it's inherited, you could just swipe the whole timeline and then just go down to your children, just clear their whole timeline as well. Just clear them of all the triggers while you're at it. if right. you can.
But I can do the other children as a group. I can just do my other children as a group.
I would just clear the trigger by child. So like you're basically going down the child. So say you have, you know, Hannah. So I just clear the trigger on her just all the way down. That specific trigger just go all the way down. It may or may not work, but you might as well try it.
You're saying starting from that, from six generations back, go to that child, and then go six Correct. Generations back again, and another child back. Okay.
Because chances are, I'll tell you why. If people go, why don't you have to do it by age? Because she also inherited from you. So while you're doing the whole thing, just go the whole way down. And if she's got a child, do her child at the same time. Just get rid of that trigger all in one go.
Okay. And just one other thing, in terms of understanding, like, let's say with the particular child I did it with, so if it's been like a challenging relationship and I feel that, like, let's say maybe at there was a certain point in her childhood where I didn't feel like I was emotionally available, like well enough to parent her. So that may have, as well, in the most ideal way, but some children would get through this and they'd be fine. But like, because is it possible to view this as saying, well, because this energy was there, this child got triggered, and then it ended up coming over. That's what it manifested itself, so to speak, right?
Absolutely.
Can one think of it that way?
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't really have a parenting protocol, but I really think we should, honestly, and how to deal with these problematic relationships with our children. You know, my experience is showing me that, like, there's a couple things that could happen. And when we look, it's more of behavioral issues, I guess, where it would fall under, you know, in terms of if you were looking somewhere, we have a behavioral protocol. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple hundred different types of behaviors that our children or husbands or wives could manifest with. And so the thing is, what you want to do is you want to, like, say, okay, so say she's combative. So then you'd go to the cause of issues to say, well, why is she combative? It might be on the mental health checklist, probably more so than not. And again, that's in the energy psychology part of the program that we deal with. And it could be that she's got a shadow, you know, and a shadow is a part of yourself that you reject. And then that triggers a shadow to come out, and then suddenly she's this illogical, crazy person. Or maybe she's got a personality split, you know, and that triggers something, you know. Triggers play out very interesting, can ignite certain emotions within a person, bring bad qualities out where they're so sweet and everything's great, and then you do one thing and they flip out. That is a trigger, but it could also be triggering a certain something within the energy psychology piece of it. It could be triggering a phobia, it could be triggering a fear, all kinds of things. Some kind of an emotion, you know, that is going down. Hold on one second here.
Okay, and one last thing. There was someone who's no longer in this world that I really got triggered from. They're no longer in this world. Is that like still a worthwhile thing to do? Like,
definitely, because you're still going to be triggered if that exact same scenario happens with a different person. You see, keep in mind, a trigger, a person may trigger you, okay, but the reason why they're triggering you, unless they're doing something really, really awful, may have nothing to do with them.
See, they had bipolar, and I think that was something that was very. So if I meet up with another person who's bipolar, I might get triggered because of that. So it's worth.
It's more of specific, like trauma that you've gone through with that person. So like if they, you know, would flip out about things in the kitchen, right? Then when your daughter would flip out about something in the kitchen, that might trigger you back into that flashback of that emotion.
Okay.
So I would definitely clear all triggers with even a dead person. I would definitely do that.
So whether it's a dead person or someone who's just not longer in your life, like they're just in a different, whatever, like you just in a different place, it's still worthwhile. Any person that you've been triggered with, like, significantly, to clear that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome. Give me one second. Okay, hold on. Hi, is it possible you could do that in that room? I'm just doing a Zoom class. So I didn't know you guys were coming right now. And is that the same color, by the way?
Clyde, let me get
that for you. Okay, and also up there is where the leak is, but I can move to that room if you need me to. Hi, Clyde, how are you? No, I'm just on the Zoom class right now. I didn't know you.
No, we don't need to bother you. We go to outside.
So if you could just do it in there, though, because it's making you better than I. Also, is that the right color? It looks kind of dark.
Solomon. Jesus.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll do it. Thank you. Hi, sorry, I just have my handyman here. Okay. Yeah, do that in the other room, please.
No, we want to show you something.
Oh, okay. I just need 30 seconds. Okay, hold on.
Did you understand what I asked you to do? Yes.
You just... Sorry about that. Okay. All right, so who is next? Let's see here. Yafa, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, thanks for for sharing about the balls dropping, because I'm definitely one of the people on the wiggly thing. So thank you.
I was actually shocked, to be honest with you. I thought for sure the one going straight would be way faster. But then it made sense when he explained it, that you're going like this, but you actually can pick up speed in life. And that's why Hashem sends you these crazy situations. He's trying to get you to move.
Yeah, thank you. God willing, Hashem. God willing. Mm-hmm. So I just had a general question. Mm-hmm. Since eventually we will be working with people, how does something like the self-sabotage program or forgiveness, how does that work with another person?
That's in the coaching piece. I don't really do that behind. I mean, you can try to do it behind the scenes, but it generally doesn't work. I do mostly 90% of the work that I do is the coaching piece of the whole clinic that we run. And that is what I do with most of the clients. It's just clearing triggers in real time, you know, doing the phobia protocols, and because I need their participation, you know, what they're feeling as we're going through.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So I don't really do the energy piece of it. People are like, I want you to do the energy. I'm like, I don't really have time to deal with the energy piece of it. I do the training, and I for sure can do it if I have to, but I don't do behind the scenes. We have about 100 clients a week that we work on. So we have, that's what the team works on, is all the energy piece of it. So when they're finished with clearing the energy system, then I can do the coaching piece with, you know, with nothing getting in the way of the session. And then whatever comes up, I can clear it for them. I would do the self-sabotage protocol with them. I would send it to them, you know, type it up the way it needs to be done and send it to them. Say, here, I need you to read this every day for 3 weeks or whatever. Or if forgiveness, which I did with a client this morning, I do the forgiveness. I send them the sheet. You know, I show them how to do the first one. I say, here, you go ahead and do the rest of it. Or we do it together, hold space for them. I had a lady yesterday, you know, she's married to a rabbi, you know, a big rabbi of a community, and he treats his wife just like a doormat. And up till now, she's just been like, I'm a tzaddikus, I'm going to take it, it's good, it's forcing me. And she, yesterday, at the end of the session, when we were, it was one of the issues she was having with him, she couldn't let it go, and she was doing a forgiveness session, and literally everything, like, she just vomited everything up, and just... And I actually went over like 15 minutes to my next client because I wasn't going to let her stop, but I didn't know that was going to happen. So you never know. And you sometimes need the person. You need to do it with them, because if you just say, oh, go to the forgiveness protocol, she wouldn't know how to navigate through all this stuff that came up on her. So that's why I say it's both. It's, you know, it's the energy piece, which has nothing to do with the client. And then there's the coaching piece of it, which they need some guidance how to, you know, step into their power.
Okay, take good. That makes sense. Side.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're very welcome. Okay. Irina, hi. Hello.
Hi. I had one question, but now since other people spoke, I had more questions.
Uh-huh.
So going backwards with the self-sabotage protocol. So do you need to have done energy work before you do that protocol so that it will work, or just like anyone can just start saying that and it'll work
for
them?
Well, I mean, the truth is that, you know, by the time we get to the self-sabotage program is towards, you know, the end of level one. So you would have...
No, I know, but I'm saying like, I just tested a few weeks ago for my sister, which one of these does she need? She had like a bunch of them, but I gave her the first one and I gave it to her to say, but now I'm wondering, should I not have done that because it's not going to help at all?
The thing is that I can't answer that question. It would be, are they ready for it? Just ask the question, would it benefit her if she does it? There might be stuff in the way, though. And that's why people, you know, when they come for the coaching piece of it, I'm like, we need to get all this garbage out of the way first. So that way, when we work together, you're clear. I just don't need all this stuff coming up in the middle of the session, which is going to totally throw me down or throw me off and trying to help them. So the answer is, it depends on how clear of a vessel she is. Test it, if it's going to help her, you give it to her. If it's not going to help her, say maybe she needs to be cleared before. You know, if you have a disturbance, as an example, sitting on your energy system, you know, you need to clear that off before, you know, anything is really going to be too effective.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you for answering that. Number two, just to clarify the trigger release for the family tree. Mm-hmm. So if I'm clearing, normally what I would do is I clear the people above me and then I clear the rest of my timeline by age.
Correct.
And then once I finish that, I would go on to my daughter and clear her timeline by age, well, or just clear her, like you clear your mother.
Keep in mind, this is an inherited trigger. So you're just sweeping the timeline. Yeah. You should have no stickiness as you're clearing the timeline. It's just inherited from this person to this person, this person, this person, this person. You just clear it down, and that way you just, there should be no, you should just be a total smooth sensation. If you get sticky, then there's something that needs to happen, then to go back, okay, what's going on here? Why do I need to clear this trigger? But if it's totally smooth, so let's say I'm starting with my great-great-grandmother, and I'm clearing the trigger on my great-great-grandmother. I don't need to do age anymore because she's not alive, okay? And then she threw that onto her daughter, which I'm clearing that, and then her daughter, and then her daughter, then my mom, and then me, and then all my children, all their children. It should just be as smooth as you're going down. You just feel it, you know, you just say, okay, this is my daughter, my other daughter, my other, you know, by name, and then she's got her daughter, and she's got her three children. And
so even for yourself, you don't need to do it by age then,
I just sweep the timeline. And then on the timeline, if there's nothing coming up, mm-hmm. then you don't need to worry about it.
Gotcha. Okay. And lastly, can you please check me what's going on? Because I still have yet to get the finger rub since yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean,
is there a reason why you don't have the 2-finger rub? I mean, I'm not getting any answer for you. Hold on. Is there any reason why you don't have the 2-finger rub? Do you have the 2-finger rub? You don't have it. Not sure why you don't have it. Is there a reason why you don't have it? I'm getting no. There's no reason. There's no reason why you don't have it. You just have to wait more time. I guess you just have to wait. We did a lot of work on you yesterday, so maybe just sometimes you have to wait, you know, until that process is on your system.
Because yesterday you said I had to wait a half an hour.
That was, because we started with your system, we started with that, but then we did a bunch of other stuff on you that maybe threw that off. I don't know if we retested you after how long.
So now how much time would I need to wait?
You need more than 24 hours, more than 12 hours, I guess, within the next
12. Like, tomorrow.
Yeah, by tomorrow. Try again. If not, let me know. Text me in the morning if you're not on. I'm getting that. Yeah, because what will happen is if we do one correction and I test you and, okay, you need half an hour, but then we went ahead and did all these other things. That was huge stuff that we did on you, right, yesterday. So it could be that your body's still trying to recalibrate. It's like, I don't want you doing any more work on me. Leave me alone. Okay. You know, so we'll throw you offline, and that could be what happened. Okay, and so just give it another 12 hours. Okay. If by tomorrow, you know, you're not back online, just text me, even though it's my day off. I don't really like to work, but
okay.
I will.
Thank you.
Okay? Okay, you're welcome. Okay, Brenda, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I also love that experiment in the morning, you know, with the ball. And if there's a link, could you send the link?
Sure, I'll put it on the website.
Okay, great.
I mean, on the chat.
All right. I had two questions, but one is about specifically triggers. Has to do with one of the people that we talked about in my session with you. And, someone called me and ended a friendship by text. I wasn't triggered, but I was upset. And then she called and told me kind of why. And I was like totally fine and complete with that. But I had a friend who I called, you know, in the meantime, between the text and the phone call. And this friend got triggered by what happened between this other person and myself. I didn't get triggered. Like, there was no trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had previously disconnected from that person, like, that you told me to disconnect from. She got triggered, but her trigger didn't trigger me.
So, that's how that works, though. Because when you clear your trigger, it has nothing to do with her. You're clearing stuff on your system, okay?
Okay.
All right, perfect. I got Thanks. It. Okay, great. Right. I'm going to go, because we're almost done. I'm going to Leia Friedman. Hi. And by the way, going back to, hold on. Just going back to what Brenda said, that just shows you that it works. It really works when you clear these triggers out. People are like, how is it possible? I have no clue, but it works. It really does.
Yeah, it did. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, Leia.
I want to know if you could check if I cleared the triggers between me and my daughter.
Okay, what's your daughter's name?
Ruchala.
Okay, did you clear the triggers? Generally, yes. Did you clear specific? No. So, which means there's still more triggers specifically that might come up, so you just have to take them as they come. Okay.
Okay, but I have to ask like a specific thing?
No, I would just wait. I would just wait as they come up. You know, you feel it. You totally feel it. You feel like you're getting upset. You feel like you're shutting down. You feel like you can't breathe. Like, I got to leave. I got to run away. I'm going to give you an example of what a trigger looks like. So I was working with a couple, and every session, this woman would get up in the middle of the session and walk out of our session. That's a total trigger response. She got so upset with whatever we were saying, and it had to do with her having to take responsibility for mistakes that she's made. Get up. I'm done. I can't. That's a total trigger. So I'm like, okay, let me clear this trigger on this woman. I have no idea why she's triggered, but I just cleared the trigger, you know? So I just cleared the trigger on her, you know, and then she kind of semi-circled back. I'm seeing her pacing back and forth in the middle of the session with her husband. And I'm like trying to clear the triggers on her. But anyway, at the minute, she just ended up walking out and her husband got very upset. So I said, let's just finish. And I went to my, I went to the mental health checklist and I found that there was a shadow that was at play here. And that shadow was a part of her that she had rejected and pushed down. And for some reason, it was entangled with this trigger that would just literally flipped her out. And she just couldn't deal with it. I wasn't ready to deal with it. So I cleared that. And then we had another session. And her husband threatened to leave her if she doesn't show up for therapy. And so she showed up. And she showed up. And she actually was able to sit through the entire session. And she kind of fought a little bit. And I said, why are you feeling triggered? What's going on? So she told me what she's feeling. She goes, I feel like a piece of garbage. Okay, so let me clear that trigger. I'm feeling like a piece of garbage, you know? And then slowly, she was able just to relax and get through the session. So it's amazing to be able to do this.
If I need to make like a list of triggers and go one by one like that?
I would just, as they come up, you can think about scenarios with your daughter and just clear them as you go.
Okay,
you are welcome. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. Let's see, does anybody else have a question? Shauna, do you have another question? Because I didn't know if I put your hand down.
Yes, a new question.
Okay.
So in that situation that you were just describing when you saw this woman being triggered, do you have to know what it is?
No.
That she's being
I, no, you don't. See the, no, because you see she's reacting. What is that? That's called, it's a trigger. We've already seen it. It's been flagged. It's been identified. We see it in real time. And that's why sometimes it's the best to see it in real time and just clear it. Because you don't need to know what is the trigger. You just need to know there is a trigger and it's happening. And just once you flagged it, you just clear it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I will tell people, you know, that I'm working with, and they are very triggered by certain things, and they don't necessarily know, like in the middle of the session, what they're triggered. I said, just leave me a voice note. Say, okay, the time is 6:00. I'm having dinner with my husband and I'm feeling very triggered right now because he's ignoring me. Perfect. Then we have our session. I go play back all her voice notes that she left me and I clear them one by one. Unless I'm doing a session by myself, then I would, you know, give it to whoever's working on her. Say, these are all her triggers that she needs help with. Because you don't necessarily remember it. You don't have a piece of paper. You don't necessarily know what's going on, but you have your phone next to you, right? And you feel it right now, but then when it's time for the session, you go, I don't know, I can't remember any triggers. I don't remember what happened. You kind of like blank the whole thing out. And also, you can vent it out. It's sort of like, okay, it's been marked. I can move it on. You know, in terms of clients and stuff. Okie dokes. All right, well, everybody, today's the last day of Hanukkah, so I hope you enjoy all the beautiful light that's coming through. It's a very special day. And embrace it, the last night of Hanukkah tonight. And and tomorrow Shabbos, and then we're going to start back up on Monday. We actually have class on Sunday too. It's just, again, like this week's sort of open forum, except that it does cover everything in level one. Okay, so it can be a little overwhelming for people that don't know what the heck we're talking about. They haven't learned these protocols yet. So if you have, I would take the new students first on Sunday if you have general questions, and then I would just hang up, you know, once you get a question answered, because it can get people, I feel so overwhelmed by that Sunday class. And that's because you have no idea what we're talking about. Okay, I do see one more question that came in. Go ahead.
Hi, as we're doing it, I was working on triggers with one of my sons.
Okay.
And I feel like I got it down to like halfways. Are you able to tell me if I did anything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you feel like...
Yes, definitely. And you know, by the way, you may not be able to clear everything in one go. And that's why we like to mark it down. You know, could be that I cleared the triggers, but I've got more to go. And it could take months, honestly, to clear all the triggers. And sometimes stuff still comes up with me and my husband or me and my daughter. And I'm like, why am I... I'm sitting in my bedroom, like having a complete like meltdown here. I'm like, well, are you triggered? I am. I still got triggers. Like, what's going on here? I'm like, just clear the trigger. Okay. You're okay, Rachel. You'll be fine.
At what point do I need to go to the cause of issues? Right now, it's just a general clearing by age.
If it doesn't clear. If the trigger doesn't clear.
If it doesn't clear.
Let's say like you're on age four and you're going up and down on age four. It's not clearing. Then you would go, is it entangled with something? Usually it's entangled.
Can you test? I tested originally there were 12, 20 triggers. I got it down to 10 triggers and okay. I couldn't get any more.
Well, it could be that you need to wait more time.
For today. Right, for today. I couldn't get any more for today.
Okay. So then just test how many more days or weeks you have to wait till you can clear more triggers right. And note it in your day timer.
Got you. So meaning either I could just say can't do today, or I could just say, I guess I could ask, should I go to the cause of issues?
Yeah.
Is that a fair question to
definitely.
Do?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Got you. Okay.
All right, everybody, be blessed. Take care.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.